Tonight I want to bring to you a message that may sound a little different to you, but I want to bring to you a message tonight entitled, When God Breaks Your Bones. When God breaks your bones. When we come to Psalm chapter 51, David talks about God breaking his bones. Now, what does it mean when the Lord breaks our bones? And let me first say tonight that I thank God for many times in my life that He has broken my spiritual bones. And I pray that God will help us. Now, before we read Psalm 51, as we have done in the last few nights, we are going to talk about the man David in the Word of God. We know David as a man after God's own heart. We know David as a man that was used of the Lord in such a great way. He was God's chosen king, and God found him. And by the way, tonight, if you have a heart for God and if you are living for the Lord, God will find you and He'll bless and use you in a tremendous way. And as we think about David's life, I want to remind you that the background for Psalm chapter 51 is found in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. Now, what happens in 2 Samuel 11 and 12 is David is about the kingdom. David now has peace in his kingdom and God has blessed him in many ways. The victory over the Goliath giant is all done and David has rest. And there comes a time in David's life in 2 Samuel 11 and 12 that we find David that in the evening tide, he arises off of his bed. David was somewhat lazy that day, but there was more laziness in his body. It was laziness in his heart before God. And David gets up and the Bible says that he walks upon the rooftop, no doubt to look at his vast kingdom. Maybe there was somewhat of a pride in David's heart as he looked over that he was the kingdom of all those people. And Satan had laid a trap for David that day. And Satan had baited the trap. There was a woman, Bathsheba. You know the story. David looked at that woman. He lusted after her. And David's look lingered and lingered and lingered until finally he sent one of the servants to inquire about her. Notice God gave him an opportunity to get things right at that point, because the servant came back and said, "Is not this Bathsheba the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" It was almost as if God was saying, "Whoa, wait a minute, David. This is a woman that is married. David, this is wrong. Don't even go there in your mind." But David sent for this woman. He committed adultery with this woman. He left. He thought everything was fine. Then the woman is bearing his and her child. David tries to cover up the sin. You know the story. David tries to get Uriah to come home and to be with his wife, in a sense, to cover up this woman who now is expecting. But Uriah had more integrity than even the king had, because he cared about fighting and taking care of his country more than he did about going home. And we understand what David did. David allowed Uriah to be put on the front lines of the battle. And he asked the men to pull back. And Uriah was left alone and he died in battle. David wanted people to think it was an accident. It was just a casualty of war. It's just something that happened. And everything seemed to be fine. Everything seemed to be okay. But at the end of 2 Samuel chapter 11, the Bible says, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." And chapter 12, God sends Nathan the prophet, the preacher. And he comes in and he gives the story to David, and David's rage is over this story. And by the way, brethren, that's a very important thing. The thing that you and I get most angry about is often the thing that you and I are guilty of in our own lives. And David gets upset and Nathan looks at him. I thank God for a preacher that was willing to take a stand and to call sin by its name. And Nathan said, "David, thou art the man. David, you're wrong. David, this is what you've done." And he spoke the words of the Lord. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, you have taken this woman that she was not your wife, and you have killed Uriah the Hittite. David tried to cover his sin. And in that moment, we understand what happened. The baby that Bathsheba would bear and bring into this world, Nathan said, the baby's going to die. The baby's going to die. And we understand in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, the Bible says that after Nathan had come in, and that night when the baby was sick and David knew the baby was going to die, he went in that night, he prayed, he fasted before God, and the prayer that David prayed that very night is Psalm chapter 51. And David pours his heart out to God. But David reveals something to us in Psalm 51. And may I stop and say this to you. This story is about David and his God. And may I say to you tonight and to my own life, the story of your life is the story of you and your God. And may I put it a little more specifically, the story of your life in my life is the story of you and your God, but it is your response to God. I am where I am tonight all because of my response to God. Did I respond right to His conviction? Did I respond right to His stirring in my soul? When we do not respond right to God, it is always a matter of backsliding in our lives. I've met so many Christians before. Some trial, some difficulty has come to their life, and they responded wrong to God's dealing in their life. God wanted to do something great, but they got mad, they got angry, they got bitter, they got calloused in their Christian life. They almost got a little cynical about people and about preachers and about churches, and they got cynical about things. And by the way, when our attitude is cynical in life, it is obvious that we are not responding well to God. Reminds me of the story of the man that was sitting on the front porch and his wife there up in years. They were rocking in the porch swing and he was reading the newspaper and just kept saying, Martha, 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 all the troubles in the world. Look at all this. Look at all the deaths and all the murder and all the crime and all of this. And he stopped and he said, you know, Martha, I think that you and me are about the only normal people left in the world. He went back to reading his paper. Then he stopped and he thought about it. And he looked at her and he said, Martha, sometimes I worry about you, you know. And you know, the problem with a cynical life is that we almost get to the place in life to where we think, I'm the only one living for God. I'm the only one that's right. But it's because our response to what God has brought into our life is not right. You see, your tonight, your life, when it's over, when we come to the end of our days appointed by God, it is all going to be the story of you and God and how you responded to God. Psalm 51, let's read it together. Think of David. David, a man who's backslidden. David, I can't believe what he's done. But listen to his prayer. Psalm 51 in verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. We'll read on in just a moment. But why does David say, God, I can't hear anymore. Lord, I don't hear the joy of the Lord and the gladness of the Lord in my heart. I can't hear it anymore, God. And then he says, Lord, make the bones which thou hast broken, Lord, heal me. Make me hear once again. You see, tonight, God often in our lives as Christians, He breaks our bones. He does it to get our attention. He does it to afflict us that we may turn back to Him. Look what David goes on to say. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Tonight, this is a story about you and God. And may I ask you this evening, how is the story going? The Bible says in Psalm chapter 91 that one day your life will simply be a tale that is told. And people are going to talk about your life and how you responded to God's working in your life. How you responded to God's conviction. How you responded to the trials that God brought to make you more like Him. My life is how I've responded to God up to this point in my life. When David wrote Psalm chapter 51, we understand that David is about 50 years of age. David has gone through some great trials and he has seen the hand of God in his life. And may I say this to you now, David has fallen publicly. Brethren, this evening, a person's public fall is never his first fall. You see, first something private and secret takes place in his or her heart that only God can see, and something happens in his daily walk with the Lord, then his sin is made public before all. I brought something I wanted to show you just quickly tonight. You're not going to be able to see this very much, but this is a picture of an iceberg. An iceberg is quite an amazing thing to be able to behold. You and I can only see what we would call the tip of the iceberg. In fact, what is only visible to the eye is just a third of the iceberg. Because if we get the real picture tonight, we see that there is so much below the surface that the human eye never sees. Brethren, this is really my life tonight. You see, you can see me. You can see the outside. I can put a smile on my face. I can even act spiritual, and we're good at that. I can act like everything is fine, but only God knows what is below the surface. God knows what's going on in my heart. God knows the struggles that I'm having. God knows the temptations that I face. God knows my response. This here is my response to the work of God in my life. This is my response to His Word. This here is the unconfessed sin that it's easy to hide. It's easy to cover up. And brethren, what happens is we allow the unconfessed sin to go and to fester, and we cover it up and we put the smile on and we look our best. And I believe you ought to come to church looking your best. And I believe on all of those things. But it's that inward man. It's the hidden man of the heart that God is concerned about tonight. And there are often times that God has to break our bones so that there is not the great fall that the devil wants for your life. That's why the passage in Scripture where David said, Lord, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over him. Those sins where we presume on the goodness of God. We presume because we're Christians that it's okay, and it's okay to have a little sin here and there. We presume. And David goes on to talk about the great transgression. You know what the great transgression is? David's fall with Bathsheba. It's our fall where we think, I would have never expected that about that person. I would have never dreamed that about them. But there was something deep within the recesses of his or her heart that was going on that none of us could have ever seen. But God in heaven loves you tonight, and He loves me. He knows my heart, and He knows your heart. He knows your response to Him, and He knows my response to Him. And the Lord at times in love and in mercy has to break our bones to bring us back to Him. I can think of times in my life where God has broken my spiritual bones. He's taken away the joy. He's taken away the gladness. I don't hear the voice of God. I don't hear Him speak to me in a service. And when I read the Bible, I don't hear the voice of God. And the Lord is showing me that there's something deep within my heart that maybe I don't even see. That's why David said, Lord, show me my even secret sins. They are never secret to God, but often they are secret to us. We don't even recognize what is happening in our hearts. Brethren, I've got news for you tonight. Could be the night that God would salvage your life in this service. Tonight could be the night where the Lord would show you that He's broken your bones, and you could come and say, God calls me to hear again, and you deal with your sin as God wants us to deal with our sin. And by the way, I really believe that most Christians never deal with their sin like God wants us to deal with our sin. And when you get serious about dealing with the sin in your life, God gets serious about His hand of blessing in your life. Tonight, when God breaks your bones, we know that David sinned. He lingered in his look. And brethren, he desired Bathsheba more than he desired his walk with God. Oh, the devil works in us. The devil makes us think that if we could have that or have this or get this, we would truly be happy and satisfied. The devil tells us that there is great pleasure in sin. When I worked with young people, I would always tell them, young people, there is pleasure in sin. But the Bible says for a season. I can tell you about young men and young ladies that we had in our youth group. And boy, the very thought of them breaks my heart. Young people that we won to Christ, young people that were growing in their Christian faith. I can think of one young lady by the name of Sonia. Sonia, if you could have seen her when she was right with the Lord, she had come to know the Lord as she got a part of the Christian school there. Boy, she had a heart for God. She believed that God was dealing with her. She had a burden for the lost. She was reading the Bible. I have notes that she wrote to my wife and I about her love for God's Word. But something happened in her life. I saw the change in the countenance. And I can remember sitting down with Sonia, my wife and I, saying, look, Sonia, God has a great plan for your life, but something is there in your heart and life. We can see it on the outside. She lost her joy. She lost her gladness. There was unconfessed sin. Tonight, Sonia is not serving God. She's miserable this evening because she missed what God had for her in her life. But I've got stories as well. I can tell you about a boy named Andrew tonight. He was in my youth group. He was a knucklehead for most of the time that he was in there, you know? And I can remember Andrew. I can remember that he was growing in the Lord and God was working in his heart. And then I remember he got away from the Lord. God allowed a little accidents in his life. He broke his ankle. He was a great ball player. Couldn't play ball for a long time. I told him, I said, Andrew, God's trying to get your attention. And boy, he resisted God and resisted God. But I remember a summer camp. I remember on the last night of that summer camp, God broke through in that young man's life. And that boy is about to graduate college. And he has such a zeal for the Lord. I mean, he almost thinks that I'm kind of not zealous enough now, you know. And he's so hungry for God because God broke the bones in his life. And now he hears joy and gladness once again. Tonight, when you and I recognize that we are no longer in fellowship with God, we must return to God. The song goes, my heart is prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it prone to leave the God I love. Psalm 51 is a map on how you and I can return to God and have that sweet fellowship that you and I need in our life. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember the joy? There was such a deep joy within your soul that it was almost indescribable in your life. You were right with the Lord. You wanted to spend that time in prayer. You wanted to walk with God. I mean, you had a hunger. You wanted to tell people about Christ. But what happens? The devil lays traps and snares, and we sin, and we cover it up, and we lose the joy and the gladness. God is breaking our bones to bring us back to Him. By the way, the devil is always a door slammer in our lives. But God is a door opener. You see, when the devil gets us to sin or causes someone in our life to sin, he says the door is closed. It's over. Forget it. I've got victory. But at the same time, we have a God in heaven who is opening another door. And God is working. And God is saying, here is a new beginning. Now, when we come back to Psalm chapter number 51, I want us to go through some of these verses here tonight. Go back to Psalm 51, and would you look in verse number 1. David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Brethren, the beginning of returning to God is God's mercy. His mercy. Brethren, if it were not for the mercy of the Lord, none of us could ever serve God with our lives. He has mercy upon us. David is saying, Lord, have mercy. He comes to God and say, Lord, I need your mercy. And tonight, you need the mercy of the Lord. It's according to God's own righteousness and His loving kindness in our lives. His mercy. Brethren, sin is such a serious matter. Because we notice, if you look in verse number 4, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You see, David had lost temporarily his sight of God, and David sinned, and David acknowledged that his sin was against God. Now look here. David is returning to God in his fellowship with the Lord. He never lost his salvation, but he got backslidden. David is so far from God. But notice what David is doing. David is naming his sin like God wants us to deal with our sin. He says, God, what I've done is against you. I'll tell you what I like to do. Lord, I'm sorry, I kind of made a little mistake. You know, Lord, I kind of faltered here just a little bit. I know it's not very big, but God, forgive me. Brethren, when you and I think that sin is not big, just look at Calvary, because that's what it cost the Son of God to pay for our sin debt. We want to just kind of cover up our sin. We just want to say, well, it's not as bad as it used to be before I got saved. It was not as bad as my neighbor. It's not as bad as some other people that I know. It's not as bad as my spouse. It's not as bad as my brother or my sister. It's just a little thing. God has forgiven me. God has cleansed me. But when we get serious and we say, God, against thee, thee only have I sinned. Lord, this sin is directly against you. Then we have mercy. What does the Bible say? He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. Oh, I tell you, so many times in my life, I've covered up my sins. I remember one time in my bedroom, I had something, some type of ink or something in my room. My mom told me not to bring it in there. And of course, you know what happens? You spill it. And I remember I spilled that. And boy, I couldn't get it out of the carpet. I mean, it was stained and it was done. Well, you know, hey, I'll cover it up. I'll rearrange the room. And I set something over that. Boy, I was glad about that. Had it all covered up. You know something? Every night when I would go to bed, I would think about that stain in the carpet. I would think about what I had covered up. You know something? When Mom would say, hey, son, I want to talk to you. Yes, Mom. I would think, Mom's found out. Mom knows, but you know something? I had no joy. I had no gladness. Why? Because there was covered up things in my life. And there are so many times in my life that my sin against God, I've covered it up. And God breaks my spiritual bones. I can't hear joy and gladness. I can't hear the voice of God. I don't have the joy of the Lord in my life. And God does it out of love to bring us back into fellowship with Him. David could not hear the voice of the Lord because he had put things in the place of God. Look in verse number 8. Notice what it says. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Oh, there is such peace and freedom when we are cleansed and right with God. When the inward man is in harmony with the truth of God's Word, there is something so Christ-like about a person that is in harmony with God, and they can hear the voice of God, and they have the joy and gladness that comes from the Lord that is indescribable in their life. Chris and I travel Neighborhood Bible Time together, and God really put us together. I'll tell you something, this pastor influenced my life. I believe I'm here tonight because of his influence in my own life. But I'm going to tell you something. I remember at Neighborhood Bible Time, I was a nominal Christian, a casual Christian. But God made me go. God ushered me there. And I was there. And I'm going to tell you something. I remember in a service when they were preaching and getting us ready to go out and to seek to preach and win people to Christ. I can still remember it to this day that God got a hold of my heart. And I came to that old-fashioned altar there in Boulder, Colorado. And I got on my knees and I got serious about confessing my sin to God. I got serious about confessing my pride and confessing my hypocrisy and confessing my critical spirit and confessing all the thoughts and confessing that to God. I wanted to be right with the Lord. And I remember as I came up off my knees, there was a joy, there was a gladness. I heard the voice of God when I read the Bible. It was real to me. It was something special to me. But there are times in my life, even as a pastor, that I get away from the Lord. I get my eyes off Christ. And God has to break my spiritual bones. And the Lord, I come to Him, I say, God, I'm away from You. Lord, I don't have peace anymore. It's gone. Lord, the joy is gone. Lord, I want to be right. And I have to come and let the Lord search my heart. And I'll tell you what He does. He heals my broken bones. He causes me to hear once again. Men, may I tell you tonight, if your spiritual bones are broken, you'll never be the husband and never be the dad that you should be before God. Wives, if your spiritual bones are broken tonight, you can never be the mother and never be the wife that you need to be. Teenagers tonight and children, you'll never be the child that God wants you to be. You see, everything comes out of that hidden man of the heart. I'm reminded in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, that John is writing to Gaius. And can I read this to you? John said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And I want to ask you something tonight. What if tonight God gave you physical health in direct proportion to your spiritual health? Here, John is saying, Gaius, you don't have physical health. I pray that God would give you physical health as your soul is so healthy and prosperous. You know what? I got news for you. There's been times in my life that if God answered that request, if God gave me physical health in proportion to my spiritual health, I'd have to be taken out on a stretcher. I'd end up in the hospital somewhere because if my physical body was as healthy as my spiritual body, I have let the hidden man of the heart, I have neglected that hidden man. Brethren, there is a part of me that you do not see tonight. My wife, God bless her, she does not even see it. I can hide it from her. I can hide it from anybody else. But when I get face to face with God and I come before His presence, God shows me the things in my life that do not belong there. But God does something in His love for you. He breaks those spiritual bones. Has God broken your spiritual bones tonight? You see, brethren, Satan does not work to really make us hateful towards God. He works to make us forgetful towards God. We forget. How do we hear what God intends for us to hear? And brethren, I believe the Lord has equipped those who are His children that they hear the voice of the Lord. John 10:27, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." I brought with me something that I know you're not going to be able to see close up. But I brought a picture of an ear tonight. Aren't you excited about this? This is science and Bible preaching at the same time. But this picture shows the inside of the ear that you and I cannot see. Ear specialists tell us that we hear because of the tiny bones that God has placed in our heads. And sound travels along these bones that you cannot see. They're in your head, connected to the ear. And if your bones in your head do not operate properly, you will not be able to hear. Now, this diagram shows those tiny bones within the ear. And they're recessed way back in there. You and I cannot see them. They are so very small. But if anything ever happens to those tiny bones in the ear, you can't hear. It's so important. Do you know that 1,000 years even before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, that David pens these words, and David says, "God, if I am wrong with You, Lord, You deal with me in the spiritual hearing of my life. You break my bones and I cannot hear." Brethren, God desires truth. He desires truth. Look at this verse tonight, verse number 6. May I bring your attention to this. David said, "Behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part Thou shalt make me to know wisdom." David was saying, "God, I neglected the inward man, the hidden man. God, it was deep within my heart. You want truth in the inward parts." Now look here tonight. We can speak truth. We can act like we're true. But God sees our hearts. He knows if there is truth in the inward part of our heart. And thank God tonight that we can confess our sin. And God will bless us. And we can hear the beautiful sound of joy and gladness once again. Brethren, I've got news for you. When I'm wrong with God, I am wrong with everybody else. You see, my attitude toward God is directly related to my attitude toward others. Teenager, you think, "Oh, my problem is my mom and dad. That's my problem." And you may think, parents, "Boy, they got a bad attitude. Something's wrong." I'll tell you what's wrong. It's within that hidden part of their heart that you cannot see. They are wrong with God there, and they're wrong with other people. The Bible says, "Only by pride cometh contention." You know what pride is? Pride basically says, "I do not need God." That's what pride says. You see, brethren, David has sinned. And by the way, broken communication with God is part of the consequences of sin in our life. When we are not in fellowship with God, God breaks those spiritual bones in our bodies. And David was saying, "Lord, I cannot bear to live like this anymore. I want to hear joy and gladness again. I recognize that You have broken my bones." There may be people here tonight. Boy, I want to thank You. You've responded so well to the preaching of God's Word. You've not responded to me. You've responded to God this week. And I commend you for that. But maybe there are people here tonight. You've lost that joy. You've lost that excitement. There is something in your heart tonight. You know it's not right. You would even admit it, at least in your heart, to know that something is not right. What is God doing? He's broken those spiritual bones. You can't hear His voice. You don't enjoy the singing. You don't enjoy the Word of God like you used to enjoy it. You don't enjoy that time in prayer like you used to enjoy it. Something is wrong within the spiritual heart. And God is pleading to bring you back to Him. Brethren, aren't you thankful that God doesn't leave us in our misery before Him? Number one tonight, I want to give you a few simple thoughts. Number one, I want you to notice our hurt. Now take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter 119. And let's start in verse number 65. David talks about his hurt. My bones are broken. And he talks about his hurt. This is not a physical wound. It's not a flesh wound. There is pain. But it's within his heart. It's within his spiritual life. You see, David's strength was gone. He knew that God had crushed him per se. Brethren, the pleasures of David's sin lasted only for a season. And then God dealt with David. He could not hear the voice any longer. Psalm 119, let's begin in verse number 65. Psalm 119, verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandment. Now notice what it says in verse number 67. Before I was, what's the next word? Afflicted. I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Let's read on. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Go to verse number 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Brethren, tonight, God, in His mercy, He afflicts us. And the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But when God afflicted me, when He touched me, when He hurt me. Oh, brethren, God has done many things in my life. I know it's been the Lord has been getting my attention. God, in His mercy and His love, it is almost as if a parent has to discipline the child, and the parent has to cause that affliction upon its body. It has to cause a little hurt and a little pain. Why? Because the parent loves that child and doesn't want the child to live in disregard to God and His Word. And God does the same for us. Brethren, you see, we must think right about God. He is our Heavenly Father. He watches over us. God doesn't give us salvation and lets us go. He is watching over us. And God at times has to chasten us. He has to afflict us. But it hurts. And brethren, by the way, every time someone sins, there is a lot of hurt. Number one, our hurt. Number two, would you notice our help? I'm so glad there's help. Go, if you would. We're in Psalm 119. Would you go back to verse number 49? Psalm 119, verse 49. Now, here's what's amazing. The same thing that hurts us helps us. Psalm 119, verse 49. The Bible says, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. What is your comfort? What is the comfort? What is our help in our affliction? Here it is. For thy word hath quickened me. Now I want you to see this tonight. Brethren, God has to hurt us and afflict us. And what is God doing? You see, sometimes a person could have a broken bone per se in their physical body that was not set properly. And in order to set it properly, they have to go to a doctor that is trained, a doctor that knows what he is doing. And even though the doctor knows it will cause great hurt, the bone is not set properly. The bone will never grow like it should grow. There will be more pain throughout that person's life, but the doctor in love has to re-break the bone. And brethren, there are times in your life and in my life that many times I've got a lot of improperly set spiritual bones. You see, we have broken bones because of our sins, and we have not cared for them properly as we should have cared for them, because we've not taken them to the Lord. We have not confessed them to God. And in order for God to help us, God must allow us to go through a breaking process. Brethren, tonight, it could be in this revival that God, He's afflicting you and it hurts. And you get a little, I don't want that. Lord, what are You doing in my life? But what God is doing, He's awakening us to our sin. He is showing us. I believe that God reminds us of the sins in our life. Just like God did with the Joseph's brothers. He brought it all back up. They had to deal with it. They never dealt with it before. And all of their life. You look at those boys. You look at the things that happened in their life. You look at the immorality. You look at the judgment of God. Because they never dealt with their sin. And it could be tonight that God is putting His finger and He is afflicting that in our lives. He is pushing on that pain and He is searching your heart and He is saying, I love you. I don't want you to continue this way. You'll never be what you need to be. And God pushes on that improperly set bone. Back in February, I have only had one other surgery for my arm. But back in January, actually, I was having some pain in my stomach. It's probably from my boys punching me, you know, things like that. And I was having some pain, and every time I would preach, it would hurt. And I thought, maybe I'm just preaching too hard, you know. And I went to the doctor and I said, hey, you know, I've been there like 2 years ago. I just don't like to go. And he laid me on a table and he began to push on my stomach and he found a place just right below my belly button. And he found a place and he pushed on that. I thought I was going to have to take the doctor out right there, you know. I said, hey, stop, that hurts. And he said, look, you've got a very bad hernia. And he said, we got to fix it. I said, look, doctor, I'm a pastor. I don't got time for surgeries, you know. I mean, I got to preach. And I said, hey, look, can we do this on a Monday? I can be back in the pulpit on Sunday. He said, sure, whatever you want. Well, he knew what was going to happen. I'm going to tell you something. I'm never having another hernia surgery in my life, brother. They did that surgery on me. You talk about pain. I was a wimp. You know, us men, we're strong, but when we get hurt, we get wimpy pretty quick, you know. And boy, I tell you, the pain that I had, but you know, after a few weeks, it started feeling better. And then when I stood up, it didn't hurt anymore. And then I could do certain things. And now it's gone. That doctor, Dr. Larry Morris, I'm trying to lead him to Christ, who did my surgery. I gave him a Bible and I've witnessed to him. And I'm praying, even this morning, that Dr. Morris comes to know Christ. But Dr. Morris, he hurt me. It hurt. But he did the greatest help for me. Because he afflicted something that was never right in my body. You've got something tonight, maybe in your spiritual heart. It's wrong. It's improperly set. And God wants to touch it. God wants to deal with it. But we have to respond right. And we have to come to God and say, Lord, I'm tired of covering this up, Lord. I'm tired of just confessing what is just kind of simple. Lord, I want to deal right with my sin. Lord, I confess it. I'm going to get it right with You. I'm going to get it right with other people. I'm going to make restitution. Because I want to hear joy and gladness again in my life. Has God broken some bones? You see, brethren, tonight, God will hurt you to help you. Number three, the last thing that we see this evening. Not only our hurt, our help, but our hearing. Go with me to Psalm chapter 143, if you would please. Psalm chapter 143. We're just staying close to the book of Psalms. You see, brethren, God desires to work to get us to hear. I remember after I came to know Christ as my Savior, I remember what it was like going to church. I heard God speak to my heart, not in an audible voice as I'm speaking to you tonight, but He spoke to me. He dealt with me. And I remember before that God's Word was a dead book to me. My mom and dad made me read it because I grew up in a Christian home and I went to a Christian school. But I was lost and without Christ. God's Word meant nothing to me. But that next morning, when I got the Bible out, I heard the voice of joy and gladness. God was dealing with me. But I'm sad to tell you tonight that even as a pastor, and even as being in the Lord's work for many years, that sometimes I let things get in. I let a little spirit, critical, bitterness, unforgiveness. You say, you pastor? Oh yes, I'm just like you. And I let something get in, and God has to break my spiritual bones. And I don't hear joy and gladness, and I'm not right with the Lord. And my wife says to me, what's wrong with you? And I know what's wrong. My spiritual bones are broken. But then, notice the hearing. Psalm 143, let's start in verse number 1. David says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Notice verse 3. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Tonight, are you dwelling in darkness because you can't hear? Look, verse 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. He is saying here, I remember when I was right with God. I remember the joy. Verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. That's where it starts. I stretch forth, God, help me. And then he says, my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Verse 7, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. And notice verse number 8. Oh God, help us tonight. He said, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. And the answer for all of us tonight is to simply say, I can't fix it, and none of us can fix the broken bones that God has broken. But we must come and say, God calls me to hear once again. Brethren, God is more concerned about your joy and gladness than you could ever be. God is so concerned about you. He allowed you to be in this service tonight. He has allowed your spiritual bones to be broken. God is at work tonight. I heard this story years ago in 1984. There was a Spanish airplane, Air Avianca. Spanish airplane was going and flying in the air at great altitude. It had 192 people on board that flight. And all of a sudden, there was a certain system called the Ground Proximity Warning System that was going off. And a computer was saying, pull up, pull up, pull up. And the pilot in pride and in arrogance, said, turn that machine off. And in a few moments, the plane crashed into the side of a mountain. They knew this because they recovered the black box and it recorded everything. 181 people died that day. Brethren, God has a warning system in your life. And He breaks your bones. And the Lord says, get right. Confess your sin. Do what I've put in your heart to do. And if you and I say, not now, not now, then that big fall will come. Then we'll plow our lives into the side of the mountain per se. But God loves you. He has such a plan for your life. I can think back to times in my life when God got my attention. And when I look back, Satan had a trap laid for me that he was going to destroy my life. He was going to ruin what God wanted to do in me. Maybe ruin my family and all of that. And God broke the spiritual bones. tonight, will you respond to what the Lord is doing? Has He broken your bones? Oh, let's get right. Tonight, there could be such a revival in this church if we would desire just to hear the joy and gladness from the Lord once again.